Thank you for those lovely words. That was really, really encouraging. What I'd love us to do tonight is to jump into God's Word. As if someone jumped out of a plane, we'll jump into God's Word. And we're going to be looking at stories of Jesus and the workers in the vineyard tonight in Matthew 20. And we're going to start reading at verse 1 through to 16. I'd say it's 695, but I've got a different Bible to you, so sorry. It's on the screen behind us as well. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went down early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for their day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. And he went out again about the sixth hour, and then the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around, and he asked them, "Why have you been standing around here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He then said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the first ones I hired and going, beginning with the last ones I hired and going to the first." The workers were hired about the 11th hour, came and each received a denarius. So when those were hired first, he came to them. They explained they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. So when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men were hired last only for 1 hour's work," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered them, "Friends, I am not being unfair to you. Did you not agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I will give to these men who have been hired at the last the same as I have given to you. Do not I have the right to do whatever I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first shall be last." Thanks be to God. I don't know how you feel as we read that this evening. The words that I came across, first of all, was unfair, if I'm honest. I thought, if that was me, and I'd gone out at 6 o'clock in the morning and worked a full day, and then somebody who'd come in at the 11th hour doing exactly the same as me had got the same pay, then I would be a bit miffed. So I want us to think about what fairness looks like in the kingdom of God this evening, as some of what we're going to look at today. But also, I want us to reflect on some words of King David as well. And so I want to sort of jump back a little bit into Psalm 17. And I'm going to do that now, if that's okay. And it's verses 6 to 12. "I call to you, O God, for you answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who are saved by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hold me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail against me, for my mere mortal enemies who surround me. They are callous, they close up and their callous hearts, and their mouths speak up with arrogance. They have tracked me down and now they surround me. With their eyes alert, they want to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a great lion crouching to cover." Now that sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? But tonight, can we think about God as being something that loves us as the apple of our eye? And to be known by God and to be treasured by God is going to be key to understanding tonight's passage. Psalm 17 perfectly highlights this to us as a foreshadow of Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of heaven statement that we read tonight that is so outrageously generous to all. God's love for us is so great, it is so intimate in this Psalm 17. David calls on God and asks him to show the wonder of your great love. Now, I don't know if anyone has shown you great love, but he then goes on to say in verse 8, he prays, keep me the apple of your eye. Now here, this is a person who knows that they are treasured and loved by God. He then goes on and prays, hide me in the shadow of your wings. And again, this tells of God's love and intimacy and protection for David. Jesus himself will pick this image up as he looks over the people of Jerusalem in the days before and leading up to his crucifixion, and long for them to come and hide under his wings. So tonight, let's throw ourselves into the Word of God and through its experience, God's generosity, his love and his grace. Not just for ourselves, but so that we can give that away to others as well. So the reading from Matthew, just to recap on it, what's a denarius worth? Well, interestingly, apparently, a denarius now, if you had a Roman denarius, would be worth about £900. I don't know about you, but that's quite a good day's work. I'd go for work for that. But at the time of Jesus, it was a fair wage for a day's work. It was an amount of money that was paid to in Roman times for a fair wage of work. But what really strikes me about this landowner is that they go out at least four or five times. They go out early in the morning, but then they go out at the third hour, and then the fourth hour, then the ninth, and then the 11th hour. I missed the sixth hour out as well. And this got me thinking, why are these people still in the marketplace? You know, clearly there's some people who are really planned and prepped and ready to go. And that's fantastic. And some of us live in a life where we are ready to go. We're prepped. We know what we're going to do tomorrow. And God loves that. And clearly this passage shows that God gives a fair wage for that. But I want us to think tonight also that those people that the landowner meets throughout the day, perhaps they were there for a reason. And often, people who were at a particular place where Jesus meets them, like the woman at the well, were there for a reason. And I wonder, and it doesn't say it in the Word, and this is me thinking here, but I just wonder if these people that he meets at the sixth hour and at the 11th hour are people who are outcasts, are people who are on the margins of society. They're the people that can't get up and do a day's work for whatever reason. Perhaps they're looking after others and they don't have the opportunity to get out and earn a full day's pay. So I think it's just worth just bearing that in mind just as we think about that tonight. Jesus tells this parable and this demonstrates the wonder of his great love. The parable of the workers in the vineyard shows the extraordinary generosity and grace of God, who gives to those who enter the kingdom last the same blessing as he gives to everyone else. Now, in our culture, that just doesn't mix, does it? But we live in a time where actually God calls us to turn our culture upside down and to challenge that. This year, I've been doing the Bible in 1 year, and one of the stories that Nicky Gumbel shares is of a character called Shane Taylor. Now, I don't know, some of you may know his story, because I think it's featured on the Alpha course as well. But I just was reminded again this week, it was back in March that I first read about it. But again, I wrote it down at the time, because again, it's just generosity. It's outrageous hope and grace. And I'd really encourage you this week, Google or find on YouTube his story, because it's quite a story. He was considered one of the most dangerous men in the UK prison system. He was in jail for attempted murder of two people. He had his sentence extended for 4 years for attacking a prison officer with a broken glass bottle and setting off a riot in the prison. He was put into a segregation unit inside a maximum security prison for this. He was given food through a hatch, and his door to his prison cell was never opened unless there were six officers fully dressed in riot shields waiting outside. Not the sort of chap you want to meet. Later, he was transferred to a maximum security prison where he was invited to on an Alpha course. During this course, he prayed, "Jesus Christ, I know you died on the cross for me. I hate who I am and who I've become. Please forgive me and come into my life." And at that moment, something miraculous happened. Jesus came into his life. And he went out under the wing and told everyone that Jesus was real. He was, in effect, a bit like that bird who had, I mean, obviously a wing is somewhere in prison where you're imprisoned, but actually he's under the wing of God at that point as well. Jesus was real for him. His behaviour changed, so much so that he went on living and to be working out through a trusted job in prison chaplaincy. He prayed for prison officers, he prayed for his enemies, and he went out of prison. He got involved in the local church. He met a young lady, they got married, and they're now happily married, and they have five children. A life transformed. Listening to Shane's story, it's hard to imagine he's the same person that so terrified so many people in the past. But clearly, he's encountered the wonder of God's great love. As it says in Psalm 17, verse 7. He says, "Jesus has shown me how to love and be forgiven. He has saved me. He has forgiven me for what I have done. And he has turned my life around." That, friends, is a great story of God's love and generosity and grace. And do you know what? I'd love to see more examples of that in our world. Jesus tells this parable again tonight to demonstrate the wonder of his great love. The parable of the workers in the vineyard is extraordinary, and it does show God's grace to all those who enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is where I want to come onto the idea of fairness, because sometimes when we hear an account like such as Shane's, it can make us envious, can't it? We are happy with our situation until we hear somebody else doing better. We're then tempted to envy them. However, the landowner is really clear in tonight's parable and turns those commercial practices on its head. He does this not to make extra profit for himself, but for the very opposite. He wants to be generous and more generous and pay more than is justly deserved. Now, God is the landowner. And he is like this landowner. And his blessing and his forgiveness are always more than we can ever deserve or have. So sometimes when we hear testimonies and stories like Shane's, who've lived terrible lives, and then at the 11th hour, they've turned and they've repented and they believe in Jesus, they are totally forgiven and they receive all the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection. Some people do complain that that's unfair, and that perhaps we give too much of a high profile to someone who's done something wrong in their life and then met Jesus. Yet, God uses their testimonies greatly, doesn't he? Often seemingly more than those that have borne the heat of the day. God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that there's not a reason to be envious, but rather, it is rather that we should marvel at God's generosity and his great love. His great love is so generous. It is all by grace. It is undeserved. It is the result of what Jesus foretold in verse 17 to 20. The reality is that not just other people to whom God is generous. He is generous to you and to me. If God only gave us what we earned, we would be far worse off. Yet, accepting the generosity of God showers on us, the result is staggering at times. Through his death and his resurrection, Jesus makes it possible that we, you and me, can be forgiven and can enjoy a great life with him into eternity. I wasn't going to share this, but one of the things I've been doing over Lent is studying a little bit of a podcast on Revelation. And there's a bit in Revelation where it talks about the 24 elders bowing down and actually worshipping Jesus and thanking him for who he is and saying, "Worthy, worthy, who are you?" And there's lots of debate about that, who they are. And perhaps I'm going down a tangent talking about it now, I don't know. But one of the things is some people say they're the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples. Others believe they're angels. And then there's others that believe they're saints, like you and me, those that follow and love Jesus. And I had a profound sense as I was listening to that and thinking about this week. That's what eternity's like. And it was a lovely moment, because if eternity lasts forever, which it does, these 24 elders are kind of like on a priestly, rota. And they get a turn to worship at the feet of God. And it really inspired me, because it got me thinking, all those past heroes of faith that I've known and walked with are there, at Christ's feet, worshipping him in eternity. And actually, that's for us. That's not just for those people who are in that place now, but that's for us today. And that, friends, is undeserved grace. It's somewhere where we shouldn't be. But what a wonderful picture of love in eternity that it is. And finally, this parable reminds us about the workers that we value in life. What do we value in life? Such as things like success, achievement, getting to the top. We'll not be valued in the same way when we are round that throne worshipping God and saying, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." I thank God that is the case, because some of the things that I've striven for and strive for in life haven't been worthy. So, if you're able to, let's pray and let's ask God to speak to us and to encourage us this evening. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for your extraordinary and generosity and your love for me and for us. Help us not to be envious of those who have blessing. Thank you that I can know that I am loved, and we can know that we are loved into eternity. Lord, thank you that although there is so much we don't understand about the world, we can trust your wonderful love. Help us today and every day to continue to wonder at your great love for the world, for this country and for us. Thank you, Lord, that we are the apple of your eye, hidden in the shadow of your wings. Thank you that that is a promise, but is also a reality that we can live in, to be known as the apple of your eye and to be hidden under your wings. And Lord, we thank you for that grace, that immense generosity that you give us. And we thank you that Jesus was willing to die and go to the cross to give us that. And thank you that you rose again so that we could inherit that truth. Amen. And if that was you tonight, I really want to encourage you to come forward and be prayed for. Because actually, we can't do it in our own strength. We need to be filled afresh. So if those words of the apple of your eye, if you've not thought of yourself as the apple of the eye, you know, being loved by God so specially and so uniquely, if that's not been you before, come forward and be prayed for. Because know this, that in doing so, he hides you under his wing of protection, and looks after you, not just for today, but eternally. Amen.